everyone, and welcome to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. I'm your host, Dr. Linda Mental, the relationship doctor, and my co-host, Chris Weigel, has the weekend off. Who knows what Chris is doing, but I'm sure he's having a great time. This weekend, though, I have a very special guest, Dr. James Cribbs, who is a colleague of mine, and he is the co-author of a brand new book that we wrote together called Living Beyond Pain. We're going to talk about that book. If you're one of the 100 million people listening to this show who suffers from chronic pain, this show is going to be very helpful for you. If you know somebody, if you have a friend or a family member that's struggling with chronic pain, tell them about our show. If you aren't listening to it live, you can go to iTunes, just type in, Google in the Dr. Linda Mental Show, and it'll come right up. And you can send that podcast to anyone, so anyone can listen to this. It's also live on Faith Radio every weekend. Well, welcome, Dr. Cribbs. Great to have you here.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, Dr. Cribbs is a DO. He's a practicing physician and a graduate of Michigan State University. And yes, people that listen to me know that I'm a big University of Michigan fan.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am.
I know that too.
I like that you were yes, ma'aming me on that one. But I don't not like the Spartans, I have to say.
In the end, we're both from Michigan, so we
got along very well. That's right. We both are. I actually marched in the stadium. When I was in high school. Yeah, high school
Fantastic.
Band. We marched at a Michigan State game.
Yes.
And so he earned his Bachelor of Arts degree in economics there and then a Doctor of Osteopathic Medicine degree from Michigan State University. He is board certified in neuromuscular skeletal medicine with a specialty in pain management. So he's highly qualified to be talking about this subject. He is focused on osteopathic manipulative medicine. And you can listen to Living Beyond Pain Part 1 to understand exactly what that's all about. It's a great part of medicine that a lot of people may not be familiar with. He also works with sports medicine, medical orthopedics, and interventional pain management. He has served on the academic faculty of two medical schools. You and I are together right now at a faculty, as faculty on a medical school. And he is involved nationally in advancing osteopathic medicine and curriculum because we need more of you. We need to replicate you like 100 times in the country.
Thank you. I hope so. I hope so. I think that osteopathic physicians are well positioned to help to provide some solutions for the chronic pain problem that we have in the United States.
I would totally agree. He lives in Virginia with his wife, Jennifer, and their four lovely children. Well, as we get started, Dr. Cribbs, can you explain what it means to have chronic pain versus acute pain and why chronic pain is so difficult to treat?
Yeah, so acute pain is something that occurs usually right after an injury, such as a fall or someone torquing their shoulder, straining their knee in a basketball game, or a car accident. And a lot of times these are minor. Sometimes they're more severe, but usually acute pain is something that goes away. Once the inflammation and the tissue repairs, that pain, it goes away. And that's typically what happens when someone is injured or has pain.
Does that go away pretty quickly, like within 3 months? Is there a marker that kind of moves it from acute to chronic?
Well, it really depends on the injury. But chronic pain develops when you have persistent stimulation of the nerve cells, where you have inflammation that's there for a long time, are you chronically re-injuring the area that got hurt originally? And so that persistent stimulation rewires in a matter of sorts the spinal cord and the brain. And even after the stimulation of pain is gone, the injury is healed, the brain is still going to register pain even if that body area is healed.
I've got the healing from stepping on a nail, but I still might have the pain months and months later. And what you're saying is my body has changed as a result of that chronic pain. My brain has been rewired. My central nervous system is kind of wound up, meaning it's a lot more sensitive to pain.
In the simplest terms, that area is switched on and the nerve messaging system is switched on. And so the brain registers pain long after the stimulus is gone.
So you and I, in the book, we thought about this as pain is an alarm system. Mm-hmm. So it's very normal for people to have pain. If you don't have pain, you don't even know that you've been injured. There
Correct.
Was a very famous doctor, some people may have read the book, Dr. Paul Brand and Philip Yancey wrote a book years ago where Dr. Brand was working in the leper colony in India. Mm-hmm. And what he noticed is that people were injuring themselves with leprosy because they couldn't register pain.
There's a component of pain that's actually helpful for us because if we feel pain, then we're less likely to do something that injures ourselves. And so the brain goes through a process of learning when we have painful events as we grow up and as we're younger. But what Dr. Brand was talking about and Dr. Yancey was talking about in that book was that when you have an absence of pain sensation, then you actually start to injure yourselves. And that's what he noticed in the leper colony.
If pain is the alarm system, now we've got the alarm going off. In chronic pain, is the alarm system malfunctioning?
It's continually on. The pain level may wax and wane, but the threshold for someone starting to feel pain is a lot less. And so that alarm gets tripped a lot more easily. That's how a person kind of develops chronic pain, is that that pathway has become efficient in a way.
We talked about it in the book about it's kind of like a house on fire. You feel like your body is on fire, even though there's no source of the fire. Nobody set the fire, but you still have smoke on your clothes. You know, you still feel the pain of what you just went through. Chronic pain is a lot like that. It feels like your house is on fire, your body's on fire.
It does. Things are switched on. And that is one of the real difficult things for a person who suffers from chronic pain. It's very much like a dream that they haven't woken up from. I've heard chronic pain likened to a bad dream that you haven't woken up from.
Wow.
The pain is there. And there isn't really anything you can do about it. It can be a real debilitating process, the process of chronic pain. You might have chronic headaches. You might have chronic low back pain. And that's part of your daily life. And in a way, it's very limiting. And one of the things that we hope to do in the book is to give people some skills so that they're able to minimize their pain and have increased functioning and live their lives more freely.
One of the things that you came up with when we were writing this book was this, it was like a lesson from the Tour de France. And this had a lot to do with how we were thinking about pain and how people need to approach their chronic pain. So talk about that Tour de France analogy that you came up with.
So Jennifer, my wife, is a huge Tour de France fan.
I did not know that. That's interesting.
She loves watching it.
I don't know anybody who's really a Tour de France fan.
Oh, but it's fun to watch. One of the teams that has been winning recently is Team Sky. Now it's Team Ineos, I believe. But one of the things that they did is they brought in a director who looked at the process of how you win a race. And he looked at everything that goes into cycling, from travel, from sleep, to nutrition, to how they kept their bikes. And they looked at every little piece of what goes into a successful race. And they tried to make a 1% change in every one of those areas. And what they found was that the aggregate of those 1% changes really led to big marginal gain. And so that's what they're looking for, is there, if with chronic pain, if you can make small changes and add to those in a lot of different areas, then eventually you may feel a great deal better.
Well, people are in luck, because we're going to talk about those small changes right after we come back from a short break. Stay with us. Dr. James Cribbs on chronic pain. Living Beyond Pain is the name of the book. More when we come back after the break.
Dr. Linda, one of our listeners asked this question. Sometimes I'm so overcome with worry and anxiety that I think I'm losing my mind. Seems I've tried everything from drugs to meditation. Why doesn't anything work?
Well, I'm so sorry that your life seems so unmanageable and overwhelming. Too often, though, it does seem nearly impossible to live in peace and contentment because of all the craziness in our world. Did you know that God's plan for handling worry is so simple and yet so perfect that you can begin using it today? Did you know that starting right now, you can begin to cultivate a worry-free life? These aren't pie-in-the-sky promises. They're God's prescription for you to thrive and to soar past your anxiety and worries. Try this. The next time you begin to feel overwhelmed by life's pressures and worry clouds your mind with negative thoughts and depression, say what King David prayed. The Lord is my strength and my shield. Remind yourself that my heart trusts in Him and I am helped. I have so much more good news for you. I hope you'll find it in my book, Letting Go of Worry.
Thanks, Dr. Linda. Now that's great advice. You can find God's plan for your peace and contentment in Dr. Linda's book, Letting Go of Worry. It's available wherever you buy your books online. Hey, it's Chris from the Dr. Linda Mental Radio Show. Dr. Linda's latest book is titled Living Beyond Pain. It gives practical tools to anyone who is living with chronic pain and wants to get his or her life back on track. Recently, Dr. Linda's listeners had questions about pain, and she answers those questions with tips from her book, Living Beyond Pain.
My spouse, Dr. Linda, talks about her pain all the time. And I'm trying not to be rude and disinterested, but is there some way that I can still show her love but really kind of address this?
So when that happens and you're with somebody in chronic pain, the problem is that that person can be somewhat demanding at times, and it can bring up feelings of powerlessness. Because think about it, Chris, if your wife was in pain and she didn't know how to deal with it, how would you feel?
It would be a hopeless feeling.
Yeah, you'd feel powerless, and you want to be able to know how to help her. So you don't want to say stop complaining or get over it, because that would not be an empathetic response. But instead, what you'd want to do is you'd want to be emotionally supportive. There's a fine line between helping and hurting someone who's dealing with chronic pain, because if you do too much for them, the things that they actually can do for themselves, you're not helping them.
Right.
But if you don't help them where they need help, then you're not showing that emotional support that is so needed for someone in pain.
Hey, thanks, Dr. Linda. If you would like a copy of Dr. Linda Mental's book, Living Beyond Pain, go to drlindamental.com, or you can find Living Beyond Pain anywhere books are sold online.
Well, welcome back to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. Today's topic is Living Beyond Pain. This is part two of our series on our new book, Living Beyond Pain. I have co-authored that with physician Dr. James Cribb, who's in the studio again with us today. We did part one of this show, so if you're looking at iTunes, just go to iTunes, Google the Dr. Linda Mental Show. You'll find it there, and you'll see Living Beyond Pain part one, where we really set up what chronic pain is all about. And then today's show, we're going to talk a little bit more now about what you can do, some of those marginal gain that we talked about in the first segment in terms of changing your pain. There's lots of ways that you can change your pain. You also may want to check out my website, drlindamental.com. There you'll find books, blogs, and you can connect with me on social media. That way you know every day what I'm writing about. I'll have a lot of tips and helps with chronic pain as we go forward. And we would love to have you again listen to our podcast. So remember that, Dr. Linda Mental on iTunes. All right, Dr. Cribbs, we're going to continue our conversation here on giving people some help. Let's start with our thinking. Our mind matters when it comes to chronic pain.
It does. And so one of the things that I learned really early in practice is that a patient's pain is rarely in the head, but the way they relate to it always is.
We're talking about our beliefs. So if you have someone who comes into your office, and you and I both had this happen with people that we see, and they say, I'm going to be disabled. The pain is so bad, there's nothing that I can do. That belief really makes your pain worse, doesn't it?
It does. Unfortunately, it can become a self-fulfilling prophecy. It's important to recognize that if that is something that you struggle with, consider the thoughts that you're having about your pain, and consider whether you're thinking about that all the time. Does pain occupy your thoughts throughout the day? Is it part of how you identify yourself?
And is it negative?
Correct.
So it's that negative thinking that is easy to do. When I'm in pain, I'm not walking around going, hey, life is great. I'm feeling terrible.
Correct.
And I'm in pain. But we know from all the research that if you think negative thoughts, you're actually turning up the volume on pain.
Yeah, you're amplifying it.
Yes,
you are.
So that's an amplifier. So one of the ways you turn down that volume of pain is that you start to say things that are much more optimistic and positive. Now, we're not telling people to make things up. We're not saying just start, you know, making up things about it.
Well, I think in a practical sense, when you have pain, a real valuable thing is to try to distract yourself from it. So if you're doing an activity and you start to feel pain, you might say, okay, I recognize that I'm having this. I'm going to do something to make myself comfortable, and I'm going to try to refocus my brain somewhere else, because what we focus on, we amplify.
Right. So distraction is a great technique, getting away from the pain, not denying that it's there, but distracting your mind away from it. The brain will go to whatever you say is important. So if you say that this thing over here is more important than focusing on my pain, it's going to train your brain over there.
So the things that fire together wire together. And so if we are noticing that we're having a lot of pain and that we have a lot of emotion related to it, and these are negative emotions, it sometimes it really does amplify the pain that we experience.
One of the really big ways of thinking that really makes pain more difficult is catastrophic thinking. So let me give an example of that.
Yeah.
If you think, I'll never feel better, that's a catastrophic thought. I'll never feel better. Well, I might not feel better today, but a better thought would be, and a more moderate thought would be, you know, I'm having a really bad day today, but tomorrow it's going to be a little bit better.
Yeah, we really want to try to minimize our catastrophic thinking. The research shows that people who convert from acute pain to chronic pain, and also those who are more likely to become opioid addicted, one of the things that contributes to that is catastrophic thinking. The other thing is self-medication. Using a stimulant such as cigarettes or vaping to minimize your pain, or to use alcohol to minimize your pain, or another
benzodiazepine. The producer's looking at me going, what the heck is a benzodiazepine? So that's the anti-anxiety medication
yes.
that people take over the counter, or they can get a prescription.
The important thing here is that you're not self-medicating. Chronic pain is difficult to treat, and sometimes when we're self-medicating, it can lead down to a road that could lead to addiction, or it could lead to increased pain. So it's important, if you're experiencing pain, to seek counsel from a physician, from a chiropractor, from a physical therapist, from a counselor, someone who can help you navigate that.
What about emotions? So we know in the literature that chronic pain becomes even more difficult if you're depressed.
Again, when we're talking about having a decreased threshold, one of the things that if you're suffering from depression, it hampers your ability to negotiate and navigate life. Depression and chronic pain often go hand in hand. And so having an outlook that's depressed, that's more sad, it's more difficult to deal with your chronic pain and to get the help that you need.
People might not be thinking about that, thinking that, you know, maybe the chronic pain is making me depressed, or maybe I was depressed before I had pain. Now my pain is even worse, because we know that if you have pain and you are depressed, you are going to hurt more, not less.
Yeah, it amplifies your pain.
Right. So it's very important to then get some help for your depression. Treating your depression could actually improve your pain.
And there are certain antidepressants that not only help with depression, but also help with chronic pain.
That's great, because I don't know that that's something people know. So we're looking at also decreasing your fear. As someone of faith, we always say that, you know, God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. So we have to have that power from God, that sound mind that God gives us as we renew our mind. The opposite of fearing is trusting God. So as we trust God, we don't need to walk in fear. Reducing our fear will reduce our pain. If we reduce avoidance of things, we sometimes will reduce our pain. We actually push through a few things rather than trying to avoid it. And then if we work on our depression and get our thoughts more positive. So what we're talking about here is you can change your thinking, you can change your pain. You mm-hmm. change your emotions, you can change your pain. And we have a chapter on each one of these things.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about changing our lifestyle and changing our pain. This is the hard stuff for people, because it's really hard to do the things that we're going to talk about. But boy, can it make a difference.
Well, it can make a difference. So one of the things that we discuss is exercise. Mm. And the thing to remember with exercise is that you have to start where you are. You're not going to start running a marathon.
Like you do. He just did a 10 miler before we started the show today. So let's just put that out there. Something I could never do, by the way.
Correct. But you have to start where you are. And that might be that you're doing laps around your kitchen table.
But Dr. Cripps, I hurt. Why are you telling me to get up? Isn't exercise going to make my pain worse?
What can happen is that you may have a day where you feel better. And then you exercise and because you're feeling better, you overdo. And then that throws you into kind of a pit of pain. Then you wait to feel better. And then
you
overdo.
Get fearful yep. and avoid. You go, oh, I don't want to do that again.
You avoid the exercise. But what you want to do is do something that's within your range, but you have to start somewhere. Do something that's going to give you some motion and some movement in life. Because what motion does is it improves your body mechanics, it improves lymphatic flow, and it stimulates the nerves in a different way, and it helps to distract you from your pain.
The message is then the opposite, that exercise actually helps reduce your pain.
That's correct.
I always thought that exercise would make it worse. So I was one of those people before I did a lot of work on this. And in fact, as I was coming out of something that I had an operation and I had a lot of pain afterwards, slowly under doctor supervision, doing Pilates, which is what really saved the day for me, strengthening my core made all the difference in the pain experience.
For some people, it might be Pilates. For other people, it might be walking. For other, it might be improving their cardiovascular movement.
Would be good.
Swimming is a really good one. It's gentle on the joints. But doing what you can and being mindful of not to overdo it can make a large gain. Again, we're talking about finding gains in multiple different areas of your life so that you have less pain.
All right. Well, on that note, we're going to take a short break. We're going to talk about some more lifestyle changes that you can make. Change your lifestyle, change your pain. Back with more with Dr. James Cribbs, Living Beyond Pain. The other night, I had an interesting conversation with friends at dinner. we were talking about the idea that Bible stories were not just nice stories, but they were there to help us relate to difficulties when they come. Now, I know this wasn't exactly a new thought. I know we know this. But how often do we think about what we are going through and actually place our life stories in the context of those Bible stories? So here's what we did. We took turns and we related a current issue that we were each having to a specific Bible story. Then we used those stories to encourage one another. So for example, one of my friends had a relationship with his boss that felt a lot like David's relationship with Saul. One moment the boss was praising him and giving him assignments. The next moment, the fiery spears would fly. Like David, he trusted God for his tomorrow. He often wondered about the timing of God's intervention, but trusted that God was working on his behalf and the plans God had for him were good. Another friend related to Joseph. She was in a job, unappreciated, and felt thrown to the side while others ascended and were promoted. She could really relate to being in the prison of neglect and rejection, hoping and praying that the king, the boss, would remember her and release her from false charges that caused the rejection. Like Joseph, she believed God would restore what was lost. By the end of the dinner, we were laughing and smiling. Life may have thrown us a few curves, but we were determined to react to those curves like the people of faith who went before us. So the next time you need a little encouragement, hey, grab that Bible storybook and think about the lessons we teach our children. Those stories aren't just for kids. They can really encourage us too. Well, welcome back to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. Today's topic is Living Beyond Pain, and this is part two of our series on a book that I co-authored with Dr. James Cribbs, who's in the studio today, and he's talking about the book that we wrote. He's a practicing physician and a DO, and we have so much we can talk about. The good news is there's a book people can buy if they want all the details that we're not covering in this half-hour show, which we can't possibly do, but they can go to my website, drlindamental.com. They can find my blogs there. The books are there. All the books I've written, but this one in particular.
Yeah, and one of the reasons, just to reinforce, one of the reasons why we wrote the book was that there's only so much you can get into in a 15-minute office visit with your physician. What we endeavored to do was to try to give people practical skills to minimize their pain and to address some of the issues that just simply aren't able to be addressed in a 15-minute office visit.
And we're really responding to the 100 million people that are struggling with chronic pain and wanting to help people with other solutions than narcotics.
Yeah, it's a silent crisis.
It is. And people want to get off of opioids. There are a number of people I've talked to who have said, I've been on them for years. I don't feel like they're that helpful. I still have a lot of pain. Are there other things that we can do to get some help?
And in addition to that, people who aren't on opioids, who suffer from chronic pain, they want to live more functional lives. They want to be able to live their lives. They want to be able to do things that they weren't able to do before, and they want to try to have their lives be as normal as they can.
It's no fun to watch your grandchild playing outside and thinking, I'd love to be out there throwing the ball, but I'm hurting so bad I can't seem to get up right now to do that. So this is really our purpose. Our focus is to get you some practical help. We also did this, Dr. Cribbs, we also looked at the evidence-based medicine and the evidence-based approaches that are approved for chronic pain, because there's a lot of claims out there saying that you try this and your pain will go down. But you and I went to the data, we went to research, we did all the scientific study stuff, and we looked at studies that actually prove that certain things work. That was really important to us. Yeah. So I want to go back to one of the lifestyle changes that we didn't mention, and that is weight. Now, I have practiced with eating disorders for years and obesity. One of the statistics, though, is that overweight people report 20% greater pain than people of normal weight. So that extra weight can really limit a person and make them less active. Obviously, one of the helps for chronic pain would be to lose some weight. But I know how difficult that is for people.
It can be. And I have a lot of compassion for people who suffer with weight that they'd rather not have. I think one of the easiest examples is with knee pain and back pain. One of the things that increased weight does is it increases the load on your knees, increases the load on your back. And it also changes the center of gravity, too. And so it, because it alters the mechanics of the way we move, it can set up a person for having chronic pain.
One of the things that we found out in researching the book was that we were looking at a number of diets, and because so much pain is influenced by inflammation in the body, people might be thinking, oh, I've heard that term before. I've heard people talk a lot about inflammation. We think inflammation is behind a lot of physical problems.
It is. Inflammation is one of the things that sets a person up for chronic pain because it's persistent irritation. And that persistent irritation of the nervous system is what kind of switches it on. It's important to be mindful of the foods that might make you feel badly. Sometimes people who have gluten have increased inflammation. Other patients might respond more to a keto diet. Be mindful of your triggers. Take an account, take a journal of what you eat, and see if there are days that you feel better when you eat one way compared to another. And just kind of be in tune, be aware, have some self-awareness of what is one of your triggers.
We recommend the anti-inflammatory diet in the book, so you'll have to get that to look more about that. Listen, we only have a minute left, not much, but I just want to get at the question that so many people that love Jesus and love God are thinking, why do people suffer so much? Do you have any thoughts about that? We did write a chapter about that in the book, but it seems like a loving God. I hear people ask me say to me all the time, it seems like a loving God would not have me suffer. And yet we do suffer. Why is that in this world?
It's important to know that God can use all things in our lives, including our pain, to shape us, to help finish that work that He's completing in us. Even though it may be a gift that we don't want, God can use it if we allow ourselves and we ask God, Lord, use this pain to shape me the way that you want to. Allow me to draw more closely to you and more dependent upon you through this process and see what He does with that.
As we get ready to close this show, I want to remind you that God is acquainted with your pain, that Jesus suffered, and suffering is part of the human condition after the fall, that as Dr. Cribbs mentioned, pain often draws us closer to God. We're more dependent on Him when we're in pain. C.S. Lewis said, God whispers in our pleasure. He speaks in our conscience, but He shouts in our pain. So there's a lot of shouting going on for a lot of people that are listening right now. But you know, we have a hope. We have a hope that one day there'll be a reversal of all pain and all death. Psychologist Viktor Frankl, a survivor of the Nazi concentration camp, reminds us that we have the freedom to choose our attitudes in the middle of difficulty. We want you to choose optimism, hope, even though there's a difficult time in your life. Suffering can create a new you. It can refine you. It can deepen your intimacy with God, and it can draw you closer to the Lord. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Many thanks to our producer, Norm Mintel, our engineer, Chris Weigel, and my special guest, Dr. James Cribbs, who made the show a conversation. From all of us here at Faith Radio, we'll talk to you next weekend. In the meantime, remember, we're here, we're doing life together, and it's better when you don't have to do it alone. Well, thanks for listening to this conversation from the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and helping us grow the impact of the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. Also, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player, and you'll never miss a show.